Okay, we're here with Steve Inman, and it's at Steve Inman UIC. What is the UIC?
You know what? When we first started this, before, like, you know, we were doing like Antifa videos and fails and stuff, it was like we were doing insects, Ultimate Insect Championship.
Oh, so yeah, okay.
Then we eventually ran out of bug footage because there's only so many, you know, bug clips out there fighting, you know, microscopic level that we had to stop.
And did you ever make a bug one? Like when I was a kid, now this is before we didn't have videos. I can imagine what I would be getting into if the stuff me and my buddies did when we were little, you know, but I remember we took a scorpion. What do you call it? What's the thing with the
centipede?
Pencil? Well,
sort of
centipede. All right. We put a centipede in with a blood sucking worm, you know?
Yeah.
And they kind of went at it, and we you know, we watched them battle it out, and the worm was like smashing the centipede against the side of the jar or whatever. But you would, what your insect things, you would just find the videos, right?
Yeah, we would find the videos online, and people would, it started this weird community. Like people just started sending me clips, and you know, and all of a sudden I just started getting clips of, you know, people failing. I'm like, well, wait, maybe we should just start commentating this.
Yeah.
And then we started seeing riots happen after, you know, Trump got put in office. You know, everybody was pissed off, you know, all the Trump haters. And so I started seeing these guys that were just lawless, burning places down, and you'd start seeing them catch on fire and doing stupid things. Like, you know, it's like karma would be served. And so we kind of transitioned over to that. And then, you know, we're like, this is kind of funny because these people are like insects. So what's the difference, you know?
So but you came from the world. You are a fight commentator, right? Is that the word for it?
Yeah, yeah. I was a mixed martial arts commentator for King of the Cage. I recently just stopped maybe 6 months ago because this has just been taking over. It's crazy. I just didn't think that was possible because, you know, you come from a broadcast background. I mean, you work for one of the biggest news organizations in the world. So, you know, going over to internet, I was sort of like a snob, like, I'm just above this. I shouldn't be on the internet doing this. And yeah, it really is different from what I thought. I was just like, you know, I was very wrong. So 15 years of MMA cage side commentary is what I did.
Yeah. And so you have that experience. You've got to do it as it's happening. But with these videos, you can kind of, how much is it improvised? I mean, do you plan the video out and then do it, or what? Do you kind of like watch it and then do you try takes on your own and see what you like?
I just take it on my own. I figure that's the fastest way. And sometimes I just don't go back and edit it. I'll do it in one take most of the times, unless I say something really dumb, which I do all the time, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But, you know, I will say it all the way through. And sometimes I leave the mistakes in there because I'm like, I don't want to do this all over again.
It sounds real. Sometimes, you know, you come up short and then you're like, well, let me let them fight a little bit and then you'll jump back in, right?
Yeah. Get a couple of the sound effects. We love adding sound effects. I mean, because a lot of these videos out there don't have sound. They're like these, you know, these security cam videos. So we'll start adding like punching sound effects and bone crunching and make it pretty extreme. I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
So I think that's amazing that you're a fight commentator. And what was the one you said, the cage? What was your the thing you worked for?
Oh, it was King of the Cage, mixed martial arts organization. Yeah, so I saw a lot of fighters, you know, that would come from, you know, King of the Cage, and then I'd see him in the UFC like years later. Like Sean Strickland's one of them. He was our champion for many years. So
I know
to see these guys move on in life. You know, you're just kind of happy for them, but you're sort of left behind. You know, because they're like, you know, nobody had. You know, I think the only people that ever heard of me as a commentator were the fighters themselves. They'd come up and go, great job. And I'm like, oh, wow, only one person's listening to my commentary. So, you know, and that's cool. There was no recognition. But, you know, as soon as I started doing these videos, it was like, wow, you know, I'm getting a little recognition. And that's kind of cool, man, because, you know, we all want to be pat on the back for what we do. You know, when you're commentating for 15 years, you just don't know. You're like, maybe I suck. That's why we're not going anywhere in life. And I'm just here at cage side because, you know, 15 years of anything, you kind of want to move up in life. You know, you don't want to keep doing the same thing. And I thought that was my dream job, and it was a great job. But then, you know, this came around and it's like, man, you just get instant satisfaction. You know how it is. You know, you try to make people laugh. You make people laugh on a daily basis. But just to see it like them to write something about what you said or something is just,
yeah,
it's weird. It's strange.
I mean, it's a great format, and you know, you've got the raw material. So you got the video, which would be fun in and of itself, but then you add the sound effects and then you add the voice. And I have some here. I'll play some of them, you know, so that people know what we're talking about if they haven't seen your stuff. But for King of the Cage, is that, you referred to King of the Cage and then UFC. Is UFC like much bigger?
Yeah, it would be like the NFL and the AFL, or, you know, just, yeah, you know, different types, college and, you know, but King of the Cage was more of like an independent organization, and they've been around since 98. So a lot of fighters got their start. They're like a farming league kind of, you know, or, you know, the little leagues, but they get a lot of experience there. But before that, in 97, I was a DJ on the radio in Southern California area. Oh, thank God I left that place. This was before it went to hell, when it was a really good time. And
well, that's where Gutfeld, mm-hmm, Breitbart, they're both from Southern California.
Okay.
Yeah. You know?
And Gutfeld's like, oh, thank God I got out of there, huh?
Yeah. Well, he grew up in Berkeley, and I don't know where Breitbart, I think, grew up in LA. Wow. But they both have the same kind of perspective, is that they were essentially, you know, liberals at one point, because they were kind of California,
yeah,
people. Definitely. He came, Breitbart was, you know, they're both in the publishing world, you know, but then Breitbart became kind of a new media guy. But they became radicalized by by what they saw around them and their reaction to it. And that's what, you know, started Breitbart, and that's what started Gutfeld. Those two were friends from the early days, you know?
Yeah, it's, I mean, in radio, like, you know, I was just doing music and, you know, I was just grateful. I wanted to be at K-Rock in LA. That was like the big radio station to be at. So we were like in the Inland Empire, which is like the suburbs. So it was like, you know, market 28. It was still a big market. And, you know, I was 22 years old. It was a great opportunity. And I thought that was supposed to be my dream. Maybe we'll get syndicated.
It was rock radio that you did.
Yeah, rock radio. I did alternative. I even did classic rock. I was like a 22-year-old at a classic rock station introducing Lynyrd Skynyrd. But they took me in because the voice sounded I guess older than the young kid, but I was messing up songs like, you know Blinded by the Light, you know, Revved Up Like a Douche instead of Deuce, and you know, just trying to be cool. Yeah, introducing the wrong songs, but you know,
and that was Springsteen, but then it was Manfred Mann did it, right? And Manfred Mann was the one that sounded like you know,
it almost sounded like the Who or something, you know, at the time, you know. The pianos and that guitar riff is just insane.
I actually, sometimes I go on these wormholes where I'm just watching YouTube, and I ended up watching Manfred Mann doing that tune live. Those 70s bands, it's unbelievable. When you watch some of these 70s bands, they really are excellent. Like, you know, just so, like, bands today can't do what they did back then, because those guys were just playing all the time and they were so tight, you know?
Yeah.
But I just saw it. Manfred Mann, Blinded by the Light, just an incredible version of them doing it on YouTube.
I, you know, I'm going back now where, you know, because a lot of music sucks nowadays. Either that, I'm getting old, I'm turning into a boomer, whatever. That's cool. But I think what it is I'm going backwards in time because there's not enough good music, and starting to really open my catalog, because I don't think I appreciated classic rock in 2000 like I should have. But now I appreciate it more than ever. I'm looking back going, man, this is a great song. And then, you know, listen to Houses of the Holy by Led Zeppelin. And you're just like, these are just some great riffs. And, you know, when I was young, I used to think, oh, these guys are like satanic, or, you know, because, you know, we had parents. It's like, don't listen to the devil music. But you listen to it, you're like, there's nothing devil about that. I'm sure there's certain songs out there that are like that. But then you're listening going, oh, he's just talking about drinking some Boone's Farm. Okay, great.
Yeah. And it's like, there was a lot of like a Viking kind of imagery, and like Lord of the, like, there's a lot of nerdy like references to the Lord of the Rings in Zeppelin too, right?
Yeah.
They were really into that stuff.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, everything, it's always like, there's always a generation, but I always feel like now when everything that's going to like hell in a handbasket that we see around us, I'm like, I know I'm not getting old. I mean, I see the stuff around me that just bothers me so much that affects our children. And
yeah, I just, where do you live now?
I live in Colorado. So I'm not, I didn't get too far away from the liberalism, but you know, so I'm in, you know, I'm in Mesa County, which is a red county. So it's very far away from all the city garbage, but you know, people are packing here. So people don't like to mess around and find out. So it's a good thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mess around and find out. That's kind of a theme of yours. Let's, for anyone who's just looking and they don't know your work, let's kind of just take a look at a little kind of compilation.
So a robber walked in the store and asked Old Man Withers, "How about you hand over the money?" And Old Man Withers like, "How about we play a game of Pokemon? Holy sh-." You know, time and time again, I don't understand why criminals continue to rob people while they're waiting for their food, especially when they're hangry and more courageous, like this man who just bust a cap in this dude's ass. Well, Pookie the crackhead thought it was going to be an easy come up, but not today. Not on Scary Jerry's watch as he pulls out the wireless hole puncher and goes to work. A madman with a weapon in his hand, quite possibly box cutters, who the hell knows, but booyah, an entry is declined by the doorman. Now about to hand out a McNuckle sandwich buffet. Goes from doorman to floor man as he drops his slug to the floor and now handing out a freaking season's beatings welcome. Everybody's sick of the crazies blocking people on the road, so they end up taking it into their own hands and end up taking a golf swing at these douchebags. And this guy's now getting disciplined, getting spanked like his daddy should have done years ago. And now going at it, playing rock-a-roll as this guy does the crowd walk.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that was like a, that was kind of a best of reel, right? And you post that yourself.
Yeah. I just did some samples. Sometimes we have so many videos that, I mean, I post so many videos. I feel bad for anybody who follows me because I'm just constantly posting. We probably made maybe 8,000 of these already. So sometimes I'll post replays for people that haven't seen them because, you know, I we have our followers. I always think like, okay, so there's millions of people who haven't seen it yet. So we've got to kind of repost some of these videos, but you know,
right? That's the thing is, since you're doing it all the time, and then you get the fan reactions, you probably think like, oh, you know, am I going to post this one again? People have seen it, but they haven't seen it, you know, because it's. I'm sure you've seen your follower count. Let's take when you first started with the UIC when you're doing the insects.
Yeah,
how many followers did you have then? Say on X.
You know, this was on you know, Twitter. Twitter formerly as Twitter. I had a page that went up to 160,000. And then it just stopped. I mean, Trump had retweeted this video I did of some Antifa member. His feet caught on fire after throwing a Molotov cocktail.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, we played Footloose under it and it started like, you know, commentating, told him he looked like a human hot pocket. And that's when James Woods started. He came and followed at that point. I was just like, whoa, the man, James Woods. Okay. That's so cool. But as soon as Trump and Dan Scavino retweeted this, like my page died. And it's not their fault. It's just because, you know, the soy admins didn't like them. And that's when I remember, like, I went from, it was 10,000 followers, like every 2 weeks to like maybe 5 followers a month. So it stopped and I held on to that page for 2 years. And I recently just restarted in May because Elon had taken over. And I said, maybe we'll just, I deleted that page. I was like, screw it. It's worthless anyways.
Yeah.
I started this page in May and then we just jumped up to 476,000. So, you know, it
May
is
of 2023. You started this page.
Yeah. And I just knew there was something wrong before, you know, and then we grew to 476,000 now. So that's just the testament that Elon, it works, him coming in. There's still some problems. A lot of people complain that there's some shadow banning going on and I see it once in a while, but I'm happy, man. I even have more than I did before. So
yeah, I think they have some people that are, I don't think he's figured out all of what was mucked up in there as far as their, the ways of, you know, shadow banning and, what do you call it when they kind of hide people like, you know, speech, not reach or whatever they would try to justify.
Yeah.
They say, yeah, you can say whatever you want, but we're going to throttle it back. And so you obviously became invisible to people because you were getting, like you said, thousands of followers and then it was down to a trickle. And that's because people just weren't seeing your stuff, even though you were posting it.
Yeah. And even the people that were following me weren't seeing me. So we would see a drop where we would get maybe, you know, maybe 1,000 likes on an average video at that point. And then that just dropped down to like 20 and 30. And, you know, I could have sat there and complained, but I'd probably look like a jerk. Like people are like, well, let's make better content. Maybe people will follow. So you're kind of stuck in this situation where you can't really complain about it online. And even when you do, you look like a guy that's just ungrateful for the followers you have. But, you know, when you see where, you know, the engagement has been here and then it drops, you're like, there's something wrong. And then you start questioning yourself and you're like, do I suck? Can I just be on a fair playing field so I can find out if I suck or not? I just want to know for myself. And maybe I do suck. Who knows? But you know, this last round was just, wow. It kind of reconfirms this kind of vindication, like just within myself, not because I need that many followers. I'm just like, I knew it, you jerks.
Well, all I needed. You know? Talk about the platform. So X is huge. Obviously that's where I've seen the videos and that's where I spend my time. I just like Twitter. I like X. Yeah. I've always liked that. I don't have any kind of, I actually do watch YouTube, but I don't have many followers, a few hundred on YouTube. I'm just not a kind of a YouTube guy as
YouTube
far as
just censors too. Like you can post a video of a cat fighting. They're like, that's evil.
Yeah. I'm like,
what?
But that's what, when they were throttling you back, what do you think was your, what would you say? Because they don't tell you what's happening to you. When they ban you, when they shadow ban you, they don't tell you. But what do you think their justification was? Do you think it was justifying violence? Because your videos are funny and they're violent.
They're violent. Yeah. I think that was one thing too. You know, they didn't get it. And the crazy thing is Rumble gets it. You know, if I've been on Rumble for about a year and I've just grown. Anytime I grow on YouTube, like the page is gone. Mm-hmm. But I know that Twitter at one point would say it's violent. But I know a lot of the times is because a lot of my videos that I would post for a while would just be mostly political because I was just so angry, you know. And I know there were a lot of angry people about, with the whole Joe Biden thing, the COVID, the way they handled it. And, you know, I did a bit where somebody came up to my door. And remember, they said they were going to send Joe Biden out. His admin was going to send people out from door to door to, you know, see if people have got the COVID shot. And they were trying to encourage people. So I did it as a bit like they came around like, you know, you're coming to my house, asking me to do this. You're kind of like a Nazi, blah, 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 blah. And it was like a sketch that blew up. But then somebody thought I was going to come out with a gun. Like, how do you get these people out of here? And I go, hold on, I'll be right back. I came back with a flag and said, I pledge allegiance to the flag. And the guy's like, you're a monster. So the lift runs away, you know? And after that, that bit just got me in trouble too. So.
Well, do you have people that like, let's say the fight videos that you do, what's it called? Non-essential commentary.
Yeah.
Non-essential commentary is universal. I mean, I'm sure you got people left, right. They all love it. Cause it's funny. People getting beatdowns and you doing the commentary like it's a UFC fight is hilarious. Do you get people who are fans of yours? And then if you post something like your COVID thing, will they say, hey, I didn't come here for this? Do they get mad at you?
Oh, I've had it. I've had people who just started following like 2 weeks, you know, maybe 2-3 weeks ago. And then they just happen to catch a Joe Biden video or something, him falling down the stairs. And then they'll be like, I didn't come here to follow you for this. And then I'll usually say, well, I didn't ask you to follow me in the first place. Secondly, if you look at my videos, if you're just finding out that the videos are political, congratulations, you played yourself. And a lot of the times I try not to respond to these trolls, but it's sometimes fun to play with your food, right? So you just kind of play with it. But when you respond, everybody has your back. And so you don't really want, I don't like to.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy, unless the guy's a real jerk and he's like saying racial slurs to me and making fun of my mom, then that's another, no, I'm just kidding. You can make fun of my mom all day, but just in general, if the guy's a real like commie jerk and all you see on his page is vax boosted 20 times, get your vax this, I'm a pronouns. I'm just like, dude, okay, you're looking for attention. You come to the right place. I'll give it to you because some of these guys, I think they just don't have daddies and they just look for attention online. I'm like, I'm not your dad, dude. Okay. I'm not your dad.
So
and that's the immaturity.
You got huge following, 500,000 basically on X. What about Rumble? How is that? Cause I don't have many followers on YouTube or Rumble. Rumble is a little bit
different.
It's a different scene, but I just don't spend that much time. Like you said, I got a job. I work in media. So I do this basically for fun. I don't really care how many people watch me because I got my own gig, but,
you got millions of people watching you on Fox, man.
I know. Come on. I can do my gut felt stuff. And then I do this for fun. But, so you got a good following on Rumble, better than YouTube.
Yeah. What happened was, is when I got canceled on Twitter, like when I just, you know, I was just like, I'm done. I'm not posting here. And then Truth finally opened up to Android. I'm not really an iPhone guy. You know, I have Android because I have to have my videos in different formats and stuff. But I remember when Truth opened up, I just said, you know what? I'm going to go try Truth Social real quick.
Yeah.
And excuse me. I went over there and all of a sudden, like 2 weeks later, I think Devin Nunes had found me, and he started, I didn't know where the traffic was coming in. And then I finally like narrowed it down. It was Devin Nunes who was retweeting my videos.
Yeah.
And then that page just went from, like, within a month, we went from zero followers to 262,000 followers in a month on
Truth.
And it was just awesome, because then I got a reveal of like, wow, okay, so if I just get an even platform, you know, fair playing field, just let me know if I suck. So then I crossed over to Rumble, because I guess Truth videos also run on the Rumble server. So I was like, well, I might as well try Rumble and start posting links. And that's when it just started creating a career for me. I was like, wow, these 30-second videos are really starting to, you know, people are going over there.
Because and you do revenue share.
Yeah, I do revenue share. Yeah, on specific videos, certain videos I'll do, and, you know, sometimes podcast. But Rumble is a place to go, man. I mean, if people really want to make money, like if you don't even have any followers, you can get monetized right away. So everybody has a shot. It just depends on what you're putting out there and if people are coming for it. So I encourage people, if you want to be a content creator and it's in you, it takes time. And believe me, it took me time, you know, like 2 years of, actually 3 years of just doing it for free, just getting your name out there and doing it while I was working my other job.
Yeah.
Because I remember when COVID hit, King of the Cage also produced their videos too. I just didn't do commentary. I had to, you know, produce like the graphics, the clocks. So I'm like the guy behind the truck, inside the truck, doing all the broadcasting stuff. Oh, so that's really my main gig. But commentary was like my fun gig that I got to do on the side at King of the Cage. So my salary got cut. Dude, I was literally making, I went from like this amount to only making $1,500 a month when COVID hit. And he still wanted me to do the same stuff. I'm like, I can't do this. And I got to, you know, kind of reinvent myself and do something else. And that's when the commentary, you know, hit. And I saw that followers coming in. I said, maybe I can make an earning at this. I just don't know the way or how, or because YouTube would never let me post these videos. They'll take me down immediately. There's no way I could ever make a earning. They don't like, you know, I've been canceled many times there. But then Rumble came around, and 3 years later, here we are. I mean, we're now working on a little mini web series, which is going to be about 90s radio life. And if you look in the studio, I've got like all this old radio gear you might recognize from back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
We literally have created my entire basement into a fake radio station. And, you know,
so it's going to be like a little sitcom that you're shooting.
Yeah, a little sitcom. We've got the camera gear we purchased is just so revolutionary. It's like a four, you know, these gimbals that you see that make your camera stabilized.
Yeah.
Well, it's one big camera and the stabilization's in there and it's shooting like 6K raw. So, like, we don't really need as much people as we did before. You know, it's so hard when you have like 5-6 people working on a project and they're, it's just, you just want to pull your hair out. But now we got these cameras without the tracks. I really can't wait for people to see it, because that's my main passion is video. I love video. I love coloring video. I'm a nerd like that. I love coloring video. Isn't that strange? Like,
what,
I'm
like
more of an engineer,
like
guy.
Color, you know? Correction. That's what you mean?
Yeah. Color correction, all that stuff, you know, and, yeah.
Well, editing. That was your, so you were a commentator, but you also had to do all the graphics and everything. That's obviously helped you with your thing, because your videos, you know, have the kind of UFC graphics and everything in them. You also use music. So I'm wondering, I recognize a lot of the themes. Sometimes you use like TV theme shows, you know, you've got some like pop music in there. Can you revenue share when it's, if you use like the Carpenters or something?
No, you can't. You usually just put those videos on Twitter. Those are like specialized just for those to get the reach. And then the other videos you make as generic as possible. We'll even have like generic versions of like Rockstar or All Star, you know, from Smash. Yeah, yeah. You know how they do it on these Food Network shows. It sounds like it.
Right.
You know, like Click Click Boom sounds a little different, you know, but when a guy's getting blasted, you know, it's kind of fun to just, you know, put these songs that sort of sound like it. But when I'm on Twitter, I don't care. I'm just like, boom, I'll put that out there. I don't get monetized on Twitter. They won't even monetize me. So,
but Twitter has subscriptions. Do you have subscribers on Twitter?
No, I don't. They won't even give me that. I think
why
I
don't
have,
they monetize you on Twitter? You have so many viewers.
It's weird. And they were still adding commercials for a while. And I was mad. I was like, well, don't make money. If I'm not making money, you shouldn't be making money off my stuff. Why are you, yeah, you know, doing that? You know, Twitter is more like a free stage, you know, like it's like the improv opening their doors. And yeah, I'm cool with that because I can just post my Rumble links there. And a lot of the loyal people, I see them coming through every day. I may not see them leaving crazy comments on the links that I post, because obviously X will, they push those back. They want you to spend more time on X. And I get that. But we really get a lot of love from the people that go straight to Rumble, go, "Hey man, I even watched the commercial for you, bro." And I was like, that's so nice. I mean, really, dude, like who the hell sits through a commercial? And just to hear them say that is, I don't deserve that, man. And I'm so grateful for them. So it's,
and have you had any sponsors, like people come in, like a mattress company that wants to sponsor your podcast or something? It's always mattresses, it seems like.
You know what? We're at a point right now where we did have sponsors. I was actually doing Resist the Mainstream. They're sort of like this news network. I don't know. I was doing like news reports. So I was kind of like doing the whole like wannabe. I was like a wannabe Sean Hannity, just doing some reports. And and that just got to be too much because I couldn't keep up with the demand they wanted and trying to keep up with the demand that I was doing on the other end. And then all of a sudden it was just the commentary started increasing and I couldn't take these other jobs. So we're at a point now where like we just avoid sponsors, you know, that way we can be free to say whatever we want. Cause you know, even if a sponsor agrees with what you say, they, you know, there's some things, even if you have the same belief system, you're both conservatives or you're both on the right or, you know, whatever the case may be, there's always going to be a problem, you know? And so I try to avoid that unless I'm really like, okay, we got this project coming up. I could use some money, but I'm not greedy, man. I'm very grateful for where I'm at. And I honestly, I'm just so glad to be free from, you know, corporate king of the cage and all that stuff. And it's not like they were bad. It's just, I don't like to have to be at the phone call and someone's like,
"You're on your own."
Yeah. You know,
you got merch too, right? On your site, you sell merch. So that's a way that fans can kind of like, they want
to. The only reason why I did merch is because people are like, "Man, you need to make that into a shirt." So a lot of the times I give shirts away. I just went through a shirt company so I can just buy the shirts and then send them out. So I don't even have to have the inventory here. I just create the logos and all that stuff. Yeah. Literally, I'll just do giveaways and go, "Hey man, tell me where you're following from." That way I get free billboards. I just know from, you know how it is, man, you're working in radio. They always spend money investing on the shirts and the gear. And that's how I feel. It's like they've given me so much that I don't, it's not a big thing to give away a couple shirts. And hey, if anybody's willing to wear my stuff, like, heck yeah, man, be a human billboard. That's like an honor for me. So I usually just give that stuff away. And if you try to sell it, you get these people trying to call you out going, "Oh, you're a grifter." I said, "You know what, dude, I am more of a gifter than I am a grifter. Okay. I don't even push my merchandise. You know, we don't ask for donations. Like, you know, a lot of these people will online, and I get that's how organizations run, but I don't want that. I don't want my fans or followers. That's what I don't even like to call them followers, supporters. I don't want to ask them for money. I don't want any middleman between me and them, because then I'll lose them. Eventually they'll be like, "You sold out." I'm grateful we're in a position where we're at, because I remember when COVID hit, I just bought my house. That was my first house I ever bought. I was like, "Whoa,
yeah,
the American dream." And then all of a sudden it's like, "Oh great, I can't afford it now. I gotta hustle." And my wife was busting her. She works, she's got a great job, thankful for her. But you know, you always want to put in your half, you know, and it was just so sad that happened. And I literally just had to figure it out and reinvent, because I just felt like, man, I've been stuck in this industry for so long that what am I going to do? I was looking at down the street, going to go work at the grocery store. I didn't care. Not that that's a bad thing. They pay good money. So I'm like, hey, it's, you know, at least I can just come in at midnight. And things just changed, man. I that was just a really dark time.
It was like, well, you go from great, actually, though, that you got in your own house before COVID, because you can imagine we did too.
Oh.
We bought the house just the fall before COVID hit. Thank God we were in a house in Westchester County instead of in the apartment building. We used to be in the Bronx. That would have been a nightmare. Being in COVID in some apartment building with a bunch of lunatics, you know, policing everybody. So
and interest rates were good then too, right?
Yeah. So it was good. It was good timing. But yeah, I think it's, you can always be open, because the fans are often open to, they love being a part of it. And if you got merch and people, and they oftentimes want to support you.
Yeah.
And they kind of want to be part of the team. That's why you got a local site, right? People go onto Locals, they join your Locals, and then it's, you know, a little, they give a little bit and you get a bunch of fans. And eventually with a lot of people, you create a little community and you can get a little money back. But let's talk about your workflow, how you do it. So you basically, you shoot these and then you got to kind of put them on all different platforms. Do you have to do some, like, you know, like phone videos, like long way, so you can do them on Instagram or
Yeah, yeah.
What are the platforms that you do? Like,
you know what? I've stuck with one process, and that's 1,000 by 1,000, and that's just one square. A lot of people on Twitter will be like, "Why don't you put it by 16 by 9?" And it's like, well, if I do that, then I have to render it out this way and render it out that way. So I stick with the basic square.
A square.
Yeah, just a square everywhere. And then Twitter seems to, it does good because when someone's, you know, when you have a 16 by 9 video, you can miss it really quick. But when you have a square, you're taking up this much space that's coming in. The eye's going to catch it if it's going to be a good. And a lot of the times I'll post a video that I think is funny. I'm like, oh, this is hilarious. They're going to really like this. It's not funny at all. And then one video that I think is not funny ends up being funny. You're like, what?
Yeah.
That's not even funny. Okay.
Yeah.
But you can't argue with them, I guess. You know, and then you learn from them too. They tell you, you know, I've learned so much from them when they talk about, you know, when we're talking about gun rights and, you know, they educate me, they just don't realize it, you know, and then I can come back and say some things that, you know.
So what would you say is bigger? Fists, like straight punching in the face or straight punching or gunplay, because you have like, you know, a little of both.
I think instant justice in general, whether it's like a bully who's, you know, picking on some guy, the underdog, and that guy just comes back and hits him. You know, just instant justice videos where a store owner fights back. They really love those. Yeah. A lot of those videos come out of Brazil. It's crazy. I mean,
is it a lawless situation there?
I think because a lot of the gun restrictions are pretty bad, and anytime that happens, you know, criminals aren't going to follow the law. So it just becomes chaotic. And so you have these guys with knives all the time, and knives are just so nasty. I never show blood in my videos. I really avoid it because I don't want to show that stuff. But what I do show is a lot of stuff. Like if a guy gets shot, you know, it's kind of blurred out sometimes, you know, because I'm just not that extreme, you know, faces of death from the, the 90s, you know.
Yeah. And there is a lot of old fashioned punching, but let's do an instant justice because I put one aside here and I thought it was fun to talk about. Where'd it go here? Oh, no, I have it on your feed over here. It's on your X. So let's take a look at this one. This is she thought she could fight and film it. She thought wrong, but wait a second. Let me present it because it's coming out of your Twitter.
Yeah, feed. She actually went up to somebody's house and was going to try and film a fight. And then she ended. This is pretty brutal. So if people watch this, just know that she was a bully at first.
Okay. That's what I wanted to ask about is that sometimes you don't know the backstory, but here, let's take a look at it.
Oh, I think that's a link to Rumble. So I think if you scroll down, yeah, we can go to another video. Let's see.
Oh, wait, but I know. I'm going to do it. I'll do the, I'll just share the,
Rumble. There we go.
I'll just share the Rumble. Watch. This is the magic of StreamYard. I kind of like it. So let's unshare that and then we'll present the, she thought she could fight. There we go. So right, the Rumble.
This is brutal, everybody. I don't know if there's cussing in this one. I try to bleep it out.
Oh, and if there's ads, there we go.
It will get you more likes and more views on InstaSham as this goes viral for all the wrong reasons. Zaruf steps in and does absolutely nothing.
Oh, she takes a lot.
Says, whip my ass as she continues to whip her opponent's ass. My God, come to somebody's place.
You go to somebody's house filming looking for trouble. Delivered here tonight, making sure that's personal. No wonder she lost it, you know?
She's going to have to come back with a
probably eating stovetop stuffing and she interrupted her supper, you know?
How dare you. Darlene has sent a clear message. You want to F around, you're bound to drizz out.
Wait, what is that? You F around, you're bound to drizz out. I didn't
I'm going back to my 90s on that, man.
Yeah. So now here's what I wanted to ask. First of all, they're both girls, right? So you come from the ultimate fighting world. I don't like watching girls fight as a general rule. How do you feel about that?
I think if two girls are going to fight, I don't like to see anybody fight in general. I, you know, if we could just keep our hands to ourselves in the first place, I guess that's really the lesson here. As a lot of the times is in these videos, it's almost like those after school specials. There's a lesson to be learned is, you know, if you're going to go to somebody's house, it's very personal. And if you're going to lay your hands on them, well, you should expect hands in return. And a lot of the times we see these we'll see a couple of maybe girls, and I'll call the girls men too, because we see men that act like girls out there. They hit somebody, and then when somebody hits them back, they got this surprised face as if like, how dare you put your hands on me, after they lay their hands on them. And I just think we live in a world where people are that naive, thinking that how dare you touch me after I touched you. You know, I just don't get the mentality. And there's other videos that people will see too, when I'll show, like, let's say a woman and a man, and a woman, and I'm not for anybody putting hands on anybody. Let's just, in general, it's just, don't put your hands on anybody in the first place. You can avoid, you can avoid getting sick or, you know, collapsing unexpectedly. But, you know, you'll see a woman go up to a man, and a man is just keeping his peace, and she's just hitting him in the head. I mean, some damaging blows. And, you know, the second a guy comes around and just kind of pushes her off, like, please get off me. You know, the whole crowd comes around, and everybody's like, hey, what's going on here after the shoot? Yeah. Like, nobody helped the guy getting beat up with a bat, pistol whip, whatever. And, you know, those are the kind of lessons that people don't realize. Like, just because they're a woman, or they're a man, or they're young, you know, you're not protected. You know, you think you have like this sort of, you know, this protection. Yeah, it's illegal to hit somebody, and the cops may show up afterwards, but cops showing up afterwards isn't going to stop you from having a black eye, you know, or a broken nose. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's why a lot of time we put these videos out. Some people get the misconception, but a lot of people, they get it. They understand, and they're like, I show my kids this stuff. I was like, you do? Hope not.
But you know, the kind of fool around and find out is basically like your motto, right?
Yeah.
Most of the videos are somebody doing something and then getting a comeuppance. But this girl, she was rather slight. The other girl was much bigger than her.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what gave her the idea that she was going to be able to, obviously she knew her, right? Maybe they had, you know, they were fighting over a man or something like that. But she came. So the backstory was, you know, from what you understand, mm-hmm. she came with a friend and she said, here, you film me. And I'm going to attack her, and then I'm going to put it on the internet. And then she got her butt kicked, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the biggest loser out of this entire video, I forget to mention in the video itself, is the guy. The guy who's filming, doesn't break it up. But a lot of the times, guys are afraid to break those up, because then they're like, you fondled me, or you touched me, or, you know, guys don't want to get involved either, because, you know, feminism, you know, it's a thing, right? So, yeah,
it is. And the number of videos of yours where you see the action happening, and if you look in the background, you see people just turning their body and walking off. They're like, I will not get involved.
Yeah, because chances are the hero always gets smacked. The hero becomes the bad guy, and he ends up going to jail, while these people, like, I guess, make out. They make up and they're on their merry way. And this guy is going to jail because he's in a liberal city where, you know, they protect criminals, and they, if you're,
right. Well, you know, Kyle, this guy was on, it was a national trial, Kyle Rittenhouse, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, this was absolute mayhem. And you had people who were hunting him down, trying to murder him. And, you know, he came back and killed them. And then they put him on trial and acted like he was some type of, or a serial killer or something. I mean, he was defending himself.
I just can't believe that people were coming against him and defending pedophiles like they were, because they're, you know, the guy he shot obviously was had a, you know, a track record of that. And, you know, and to me, I'm like, who are you really protecting here? You know?
Yeah.
It's just it's like, oh, you're conservative. You're a racist. Oh, really? Okay, great. You know, whatever. I'm so sick of this. And I think America's sick of it. Even people that aren't conservatives that have to deal with that on a daily basis. I really believe that the left, there is a little common sense left over there. People that are like, I'm not associated with all this crazy stuff. And I
they're
think
starting that, to come out. You know, they're starting to notice it. And that's why you have guys like Bill Maher. They haven't come all the way.
Yeah.
They're starting to say, like, oh, wait a minute. This is getting bad. Jon Stewart the other day, who admitted, you know, Joe Biden's got some problems, and they got in his face because he did that. They said, wait a minute, you're not fighting for the right side. But he's thinking, like, I can't not pay attention to this. You know, his reputation is on the line. So I'm going to kind of put you on the spot and see, I thought maybe I'd try to make you improvise a little bit. So I'll bring up some videos, maybe videos that you haven't seen, maybe some of them you had seen. Why don't I bring this one up? This is kind of a good entry level one for you. Okay. It's a short video, but we'll see if we can put you to work on this one.
Come on.
There we go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Was your mic on? I didn't hear you, but you weren't on. You didn't even try to do that one.
Yeah, I did. I actually did.
You did? Okay, but I guess they must mute us when the video
plays. When the video plays, right? That's okay. That's fine. Yeah.
All right. Let's try another one. See if we can. I don't know if you've ever seen this video, but this might be fun to give this one a shot.
Sie gehen überall rein.
In der Mitte am besten da.
Ja. Ich will nicht mal gucken, nicht lachen.
Looks like the water is full of hepatitis.
I couldn't unmute
the video.
I can't unmute you while I'm playing the video, which is too bad. But here, I'll play the video for. I don't know if you've ever seen this one. Are you familiar with that at all?
No. Is this like a frozen jump water thing? Because I've seen
frozen. Yeah, this is. So maybe we'll. Well, I'm going to show it to you, and then when it's done, maybe you can, give me an indication of some of the things you might have said.
Sie gehen überall rein.
In der Mitte am besten da.
Ja. Ich will nicht mal gucken, nicht lachen, das ist zu hart.
Bin ich drauf?
Ja.
Motherfucker, fuck the fucking world and my new band is called Sis Kill.
His neck snapped back like a human Pez dispenser, dude. That was like a frozen hepatitis pop right there. Yeah. That was good. Ooh.
Yeah, how about there's one that you did that was that like a river of, it was like the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
River of death, right?
Yes. And the woman didn't even try to jump. She just jumped right in the middle of it.
That to me reminds me of like a liberal. They don't even try, you know, and they just half-assed it. And like, I'm hoping for the best. That's the difference between an alpha and a beta, man. The alpha tries, the beta is just like, eh.
Yeah,
hopefully, you know.
Well, this guy, I like him. The he's the Nordic ice jumper. It just it pains me whenever I look at that one, and I apologize to people for having to look at that. But it seems like the guy did okay. He's a very strong man. He didn't break his back. His friends are laughing at him, but that
like
really
Steve-O kind of, you know what I mean, like the Steve-O out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
So
I love those kind of videos actually.
Yeah. So you've done fights, you've done, animals and car, there's car stuff too. Cause people will, get in car accidents. You know, there was one where the bicyclist, rode over the car and then the guy gets out of his car and he doesn't even realize the guy he hit. He's looking for the guy, right? He's
looking underneath the car. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clueless.
So is there any other genre that I haven't seen that you're going for, or?
Well, there's a lot of those dragsters out there that are always like, peeling out and wrecking the city and stuff. Like those videos are great because a lot of them come out and they end up getting hit. You know, guys, just why would you stand in front of a car that's like doing donuts?
I can't believe it. Close. They're right there on the curb while people are spinning their cars around.
They do a flip-a-doodle-doo, man. And it's out of like. And they get up. Some of them get up. You're like, whoa, dude. Like, man, I guess when you're stupid, it doesn't hurt. You know what I mean? It might not hurt when you're dumb. It's like numb. That must be his freaking his superhero powers. I'm just stupid. It doesn't hurt, you know?
So you mentioned Brazil. Obviously, I know a lot of these are the U.S. because you can see people. But what countries do you get most of the videos from? Is, do you get Russia? I know in Russia there's a lot of automobile stuff, right?
yeah. It seems as though like Russia was like ahead of the game with like dash cams and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like, why do they have so much footage? Those are the cool ones. I mean, those guys in the track suits that come out and start like four guys against three guys.
Yeah,
a lot of them come from Brazil. Costa Rica is coming out with some videos. Like there was a McDonald's video where a beatdown happened. And I guess the Costa Rica newspaper even shared it, and they had translated it. I'm seeing my stuff translated. Yeah. It was strange, but Mexico is a good place. In U.S., a lot of the Antifa videos come out, and people that are out there blocking cars. Those are always good, and I love to see people come out of their cars. And I don't recommend it, but when you see them get out of the car and they don't, there's no fear.
Yeah.
Man, those people are like heroes to me. Like, it's hard. Yeah, I couldn't do that, man. Live in a city without just going, you know what? forget it, man. Today's the day. I'll ask questions later. Yeah. I got to get home to stovetop stuffing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. And you know, and you want to try to, it's scary because you could hurt somebody. You're in your car. Yep. You don't want to get out, but you also don't want to drive your car because they might jump right in front of it. Right.
Yeah. And when your kids are in your car too, you're like, you know, why do my kids have to be in this? Like, I just can't imagine the thoughts that go through people's head, especially when you got your kid in there and you're like, okay, it's either you or my kid. Yeah. So, here we go, you know? But a lot of people, I just don't understand the stupidity. They always block the cars. It's just like, you're not making any case for your protest. Stand on the side. You know, people are more like, you know, prone to go towards your cause a little more if you're, you know, show some compassion. But I'm not showing any compassion if they're not showing any compassion, and they can't expect anybody. But now, those videos are funny though.
I mean, but does anyone ever contact you and say, hey, I don't like, you know, you got to take me off your video? Because like, say those girls that were in a fight, that's not, they can't be proud of that. What are the laws? Like if you are going about your life and you do something embarrassing, you know, like sometimes when they have the Karen videos, I think, oh my gosh, it's like, it's so terrible. They're at their worst moment. They're throwing a tantrum in a Trader Joe's. Somebody films them.
Yeah.
And then, they either get fired or at the very least they're a mockery forever, you know?
You know, a lot of the times
that, like, can you ask people to take videos down or like what's allowed?
The only time I've ever had somebody ask me to take a video down is not because they were in it. It's just because they were offended. This is wrong. And so I'm like, well, I'm sorry. Everybody else likes it. But no, if somebody was actually in the video and they said it was, you know, humiliating them and it was really them, I could, you know, verify that it was them, I would take it down in a heartbeat. There's no advantage or anything it does for me, you know. But a lot of times I've never get hit up. In fact, I think they may be too embarrassed to hit me up because they're like, oh, this guy's going to share my comment or something. I don't know. But the majority of the times, it's just criminals getting served, you know. That fight was just a random fight. It's just so funny when I watch it because it really is just the stupidest thing anybody can do. Go to somebody's house, to stream it, and you end up getting your ass handed. It's just, don't do that, people. Please don't.
I think probably my favorite are the, if someone's robbing a store and then the Korean guy or whatever, you know, the shopkeeper pulls out a gun and just shoots him, you know, right in the chest. It's fantastic. Or the guy who stabbed, you know, we showed the video of the stabber. If someone's robbing and they get killed, I don't have any sympathy for them at all.
No. And, you know, because you see how careless they are even before they get shot. You'll see these guys like pistol whipping people out the gate. And there's no reason to feel sympathy for them. It's like society's a little bit better. Thank you, sir. Buy you a beer. You know, crazy, man.
And so I wanted to ask about how you got started in this. When you were a kid, you know, there were kids on the kickball field when I was a kid that were, they would do the play by play. You know, there was a guy I went to high school with, Ken George. Kenny George used to do, while we were playing the game, he would be doing play by play on the sidelines, and he was great at it. And then, of course, he went and he became a sports broadcaster. Wow. You know, is that what you did? Were you a guy who did play by play, like on the playground?
You know what? I think it was more like, I wasn't the athletic type. So I was like trying to make people laugh all the time. I was like trying to do that. And that really obviously got me into trouble and got me bad grades. But I think,
Did you ever fight? Did you ever wrestle or any of that?
I got in a couple fights. One fight I got into, I got jumped. That was really bad because of my best friend was dating his girlfriend. So he caught me and beat me up along with his buddies. I was like, well, why are you beating him up? Because you're the next best thing, whatever. But I remember I got in a fight in sixth grade. And it's the most horrible thing because he was my friend. We were friends. Yeah. And we literally, that was the first time I ever felt a punch to the side of my head and saw a flash of light. It all made sense with the cartoons, you know, back in the day. And after that,
around what grade was this?
This was sixth grade. It was a full on fist fight. Like I've never gotten a fight. He didn't. And we were just swinging for the fences. Then I remember he was crying afterwards. Nobody lost this fight, but he was crying in the office because his dad came in and his dad's like, you guys are friends. We watched Clint Eastwood escape from Alcatraz just 2 weeks ago. what the hell? And I was like, you're right, man. And you know what? It was peer pressure because everybody was like, you guys want to fight, you should fight. And we didn't even know what we're doing out there. It really was peer pressure of people putting us out there and fight. So I felt that I tried to avoid as many fights as I could growing up after that, because, and then I got involved in the fight game. That was weird,
but you do like it. You like watching the cage matches. So there is it does draw you in, right?
Yes. And you know, like, so when I was a kid, everybody was getting the Nintendo Entertainment System. You know, that was a thing in the 80s. And all I wanted was a tape recorder, because I honestly just wanted to blackmail my sister because she was cussing, you know, and I was like, I'm going to get you in trouble. And I was like a troll, you know, even though I cussed, I'm a hypocrite here. I'm going to catch you cussing, you know. But then I just started recording stupid sketches, and that only made sense to me, nobody else. And so it was a tape recorder that I really dug that tape recorder. It was a General Electric one speaker. And it's beautiful. You know, if you hit the record like this, it starts sounding like a robot. I remember doing that, like, just keep hitting it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had crappy plugins back then, I guess.
I mean, I'm going back, Steve. When I was in high school, I shot Super 8. That's how old. This is
that
the 80s.
That is cool, man. I never had that opportunity, but did you edit it? Like,
yeah, with a razor blade. Yeah, chop a razor blade. I got a little, you know, I didn't have the big, good editing machine with the visual. So I would just hold it up to the light. I would cut it with a razor blade. And then I would, I used cement, you know, like the, almost like the liquid cement. So that was my first editor. And then I got the tape, and I, you know, started doing the tape, but it wasn't, you know, they're both flawed because they would come apart, you know, but back in those days, all my films had edits all over them, you know?
Yeah. I was just watching that movie, The Fabelmans, just because I was kind of interested as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
And that you just reminded me of that, like just the pieces of film, like literally when you chop, you just delete now, right? Digitally. Yeah. You would literally have to put these things to the side, right? And just kind of...
Yeah, you'd line them up, and then you'd kind of put it all together and then roll it through the Steenbeck machine. But I did it, and then I was at Emerson, and that's how we did. So we made films. Then we went up to 16 millimeter. So we're shooting black and white 16 millimeter, and we're taping everything together. And then we showed it at the annual shows, you know? And so...
I think that's interesting, because film holds up forever. I mean, it's amazing how they can upscale these... you know, Clint Eastwood films from the 70s or 60s that look so corroded at a time in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then you watch it for the first time again, you're like, whoa, this is crazy.
Look at Singing in the Rain, and you go see it, you know, at the Ziegfeld or something, and they project it. It's unbelievable. So it totally holds up.
I'm used to the whole 4x3 80s thing, you know, and just, I'm just so fascinated how it just keeps like, how is it 8K now? How is it 6K? Yeah. Wait a minute. Wasn't it shot in 2K or...
Yeah.
You know, film's amazing, man.
And what's your camera? This amazing thing that you got. Is it like, it's kind of like a Red camera? Is that what it's like?
Yeah. It's basically, just think of a Red camera that has, without needing a track, it's trackless. Like you don't need a dolly track. It's just like, it's like a goose. Actually, let me show you this. Right
here. Well, that's it back there.
That's it right here. This guy's got, he's like on a gimbal, almost looks like a goose. Hard to see.
Yeah. So what do you mean trackless? How do you do a tracking shot when you want to do it?
Well, basically you're holding the camera, and so the motors are keeping it straight through GPS.
Oh, so you can just, it's like a built-in steady cam.
And then the other cool thing is it comes up like this. So you have a Z axis. So when you're running, it keeps it from bumping. And now it's
unbelievable. Crazy.
It's like a Stanley Kubrick film everywhere you shoot.
Oh, that's great. So, anyway, this is great. Great to talk to you, and everybody can follow you on. I mean, I would start with X. That's where you're going to be connected to everything else.
That's where I can post uncensored. I can post everything there. You go Instagram. I don't even post there anymore. I'm so tired. I've lost probably 6 pages. I get up to 120,000 followers, and I just lose it. And then I'm like, get a bug in me and try it again. So yeah, X is probably the place to be. Best place
for now. Anyway, so that's great, and so, you know, hopefully we'll do this again sometime, or, you know, maybe we'll work together. I would love to introduce Greg. I show Greg your videos.
Oh, wow, man. That would be such an honor. You guys crack me up. And when your producer had called me, I said, no way. Is somebody like, am I going to say yes? And then they're going to be like, oh, just kidding, dude. We wanted to prank you on camera, and here you are, dude. So like, you have no idea. I've always watched your guys on Fox, and So thank you so much, man. I don't even belong here.
No, it's great. It's great. I'm a fan of your videos, and hopefully we'll get some of my my fans will be that. Yours.
Cool, man. Right. Well, you got my contact info. Thank you so much. I appreciate Excellent. It. Okay.
Steve Inman. We'll see you later.
Shalou.
All right. Here we go.